thank you for being a Bump2 subscriber. It is greatly appreciated. In the second part of this podcast with Deborah Dubree, we go deeper into our conversation. We talk about the value of learning to listen, how we can learn to shift our thought patterns using empathy, and how exploring our beliefs and emotions can lead to greater self-awareness. You know, science is showing we can reprogram our brains and the patterns. What are some of the most remarkable reprogrammings you've seen that people have chosen to undertake?
Good question. So one of them is with a NFL player, and he was a big offensive lineman. So he's like 315 pounds, you know, 6'5" or whatever. Working with him, because I work with my clients over the phone or over Zoom or something like that, depending on where in the world that they are. He had been in the league about 5 years, I think, at the time. And during preseason, he tore his tricep. Now, for his position, his position calls for him what they call punching. So he takes both hands up and basically punches the guy in front of him, who is equally as big as he is, because the guy on the other side of the line is trying to get to the quarterback. My player is trying to keep him from getting to the quarterback. So having his arm strong is imperative to his position. Well, tearing a tricep 80%, according to his doctors and the other players that he knew in the league, were all telling him it's career ending. You're done, dude. You know, get surgery, get it fixed, but you cannot get back in the league again and play that position. And I asked him over the phone when he was going into surgery the next day, I said, well, what do you say? And he says, I want to play. I says, all right, then we got two choices. Either we, you know, stop the conversation right now. I'll say my prayers for you, send you good healing thoughts and that, and you go through your rehab and, you know, I look to see you back on the field, or we work together and I will work with you to get you back in. And everything over the phone, he went through surgery. I started doing a lot of this deep visualization with him, seeing himself not on the field, because that would have been too much at that time, about it, seeing him in the weight room, picking up weights. I'll let him choose the size of weight. This is all in his imagination. And then build his muscles, actually seeing the muscles and the, you know, the tricep and everything in that area to visualize it. He put color around it. He saw sparks going through it to start allow it to heal, keeping him, relaxed and de-stressed, because stress will slow up healing. And did some mirror therapy with him and all sorts of things, but all working with the imagination and the subconscious mind to allow his body to heal in the way the body can heal when the conscious mind is working with the subconscious mind to go, oh yeah, we got this. So when we went through that process and he ended up, he said, you know, he says, I feel stronger than, I felt even when I was drafted into the league, and he ended up getting picked up by another team and playing. And he said, we cut what the normal time to get through this injury, get through rehab, he figured we cut about 2 months off of that. So that was all over the phone, using all the different skills and techniques and stuff in order to help him heal not only his body, but we also healed his mind and his emotional system. Because otherwise the body can be healed, but the emotional system will go, not doing that again. I remember how that felt. So I worked with him to get past that as well.
How do you learn, or how did you learn a lot of these techniques?
Oh, Lord. I've got about 40 years worth of learning. A lot of it was, because again, I go back to, you know, I just high school diploma, you know, and I was studying with neuroscientists, brain, you know, I was studying brain research, positive psychology, sports psychology. I mean, everything you can think of, behavioral psychology, stress reduction. I mean, a lot of different things that I've studied, I'm trained in, I'm certified in order to, for me to go through the skills first. And throughout the trainings to I call it clean myself up, you know, because we're always, any of us, if we're doing it right, we're continuing to clean ourselves up, which means getting, noticing those negative thoughts and feelings quicker and shifting them faster, and getting past some, getting over some past, what do you want to call them? Like, lightning bolts that have happened in my life that have created some emotional stuff, being able to release a lot of that, know what it felt for myself, applying it to myself, which is what allowed me to go as, you know, from receptionist to owning a $20 million corporation, that, I was able to lay subliminal thoughts at different times with bosses and things that would help them and me at the same time, and the company, raise myself up, but at the same time raising up everybody else around me. So study, understand, it goes back to that same formula, is I studied the information. So that's the knowledge. I applied it. So sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Learned from that. But from that, I had the insight in order to gain the wisdom and to grow and to keep layering on and building my evidence that, this stuff really works. And if it works for me, it can work for others.
You have a great line in your book, lead yourself before you lead others.
Yep. Yeah, that's a big belief of mine. Even on my DeborahDebris.com website, you know, I talk about future ready leaders. And my belief is there's no way you can lead yourself, or excuse me, there's no way you can lead others until you learn how to lead yourself. Because, I mean, how could you really? It's understanding the humanness of us that really makes a good leader, someone who knows how to develop others around them, whether it's a CEO developing their C-suite, or the C-suite, the layer under them, and then that layer, you know, of managers and such, the layer under them. That's when you have a good, strong company that can sustain all the uncertainty and constant change and growth that's going on in our world, is to have leaders at every level that are developing others around them as well as themselves first.
What's the role of listening when you're a leader?
It's one of the biggest parts of the role. I just told, I'm working with 40 women in a global corporation right now, from the CEO, who's a woman, to her senior leader, some of her senior leaders, the ones that are women, and then managers and that under it. And I told him, I says, I can remember back in the day, I used to have a sign on my monitor that just said, shut up and listen, of which some of them have made one for themselves now. It's a matter of talking. A good leader will talk 20% of the time and listen 80% of the time. But learning how to listen beyond the words, to hear tones of voice change. When are they changing? How are they changing? The tempo of the way somebody speaks, which is why even over the phone, I can coach all around the world, because I listen to the changes in somebody's tempo and texture of their voice, and also feeling the energy that's going on within them, which gives me the signal, and it gives leaders the signal to know when they need to ask another question and go deeper. Because often people are not used to having somebody who will actually listen to them. So they're not used to, they'll often truncate their responses or make their responses what they think the other person wants to hear. So by asking the next question and then the next question in an inquisitive way, truly inquisitive way, then we get to the real juice of what's possible.
I'm fascinated by the group of women you're working with. Do they face, I was going to say, do they face special hurdles, but I take that back. What are some of the hurdles they face?
Themselves. That's the biggest one. I mean, I did surveys and I interviewed, of the 40, I interviewed 20 of them in January before we even started. And then I did some surveys with the other 20. And it was very, very clear that one of the things that they wanted most was confidence to be able to speak to people who are at a higher level than them, to have executive presence, which means really it goes back to knowing and understanding yourself so well that in any room at any time with anyone, you can truly be yourself. You stand in a certain way that's your way of feeling confidence. Your voice is a certain quality. The tone and the tempo of your voice is a certain way. You know when to speed up. You know when to slow down. You know how to create energy. You know, just like that, just that little bit of a tone makes a difference. You know when to whisper to get somebody's attention. So that's their biggest hurdle. Oftentimes people will say it's something outside of themselves, and it can be. But the biggest hurdle is building that self, what I call self-I, I in quotes, self-identity.
What is the average age of that group?
42,000 years. No. average age is probably, I would say maybe 40-ish. I mean, there's some fairly young women. These are high tech. It's a tech company. They are highly intelligent in the sciences and the math. They're engineers. They're, I mean, really, really smart women. And yet when I did a assessment, it came up that they're very cognitive, which shows their intelligence. And they're also at the same time equally internalizing, which means I know a whole lot of stuff and I'd like to share it with you or tell you if something needs to be changed and I don't want to hurt your feelings. So that's a huge thing that goes on with women, is that motherly side of us, which hallelujah for it, because it's what we need in business right now. But the motherliness with the self-identity of knowing there's times when we absolutely need to speak up for the benefit of others in order to make clear points and to move things forward.
Do men tend to have the same reticence?
Ask that question in a different way, if you would, please.
Are men as reticent to speak up, or are they more uninhibited about making their views known?
Yeah, men are less inhibited. They will make their views known, and they will back each other up. So somebody could say something like really stupid, or they're going to, take someone and move them up to a position they're not qualified to be in. And the other men in the company will typically, not everybody, again, it's not the men or the women or an entire group, but men will typically back each other up on that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
One of the things you wrote is that as an entrepreneur, if your personality and performance blend in with the others, you will only reach average. What's the role of personality in performance?
Well, your personality is built from your automatic addictive behaviors. Because when we have repetitive thoughts and our thoughts that we have from day to day, I mean, the thoughts you or I or anybody else listening has today, we are going to have about 90% of those same thoughts tomorrow. If you think about when you walk by something in your house, or you drive by something out in the community, or you walk into a meeting, you see somebody you see before, notice that you're having pretty much the same thoughts that you had before in those situations or about those people. That's the average addictive behavior that we have, because our brain is always looking to build patterns in order to make things easy for us. So when we can be aware of those and then shift them with empathy, with asking the right questions in the right way and then listening, we start to build new perspectives that can change how we go about our lives. I have no idea if I answered your question or not.
Oh, no. I don't know that there are any hard and fast answers to some of this. I find it fascinating. As you start showing empathy to yourself, does it reflect in your relationships with others?
Absolutely. And people often mistake empathy for sympathy. Empathy is not. Empathy can be very, when done right, very powerful and very informative. empathy is simply being able to put ourselves in the other person's seat. And even in the corporate world, I've worked with CEOs that it's just them and me, the one CEO and me. And I'll say, okay, so in your office, you're in your office right now, aren't you? Yeah, okay, good. So keeping in mind we're over Zoom or something, I said, go set up a couple chairs, you know, and then go over and sit in the chair that's, you know, the chair in the corner over there and tell me who's sitting in that chair right now, who should be sitting in that chair right now, who should be part of this conversation when we're talking about X, you know, whatever the discussion is around. And they say, well, probably my CFO. Great. Then be the CFO when you're sitting in that seat. What is it that they need to hear from you? What is it that they need from you? What is it that they want from the company? So it's being able to, with practice, to do that in almost like nanoseconds, is putting yourself in the other person's position. And some of that comes from asking the right questions. Such as there was, it's an old story, but a true story that a gentleman got on, I think it was a bus or a train, we're going to say a bus for now, got on a bus and sat down, and he had three kids around him. Another person got on the bus and he sat down, and these kids were making noise and stuff, and the guy that was the father of the kids was sitting there with his head down and not really paying attention to the kids. And the guy, the second guy that got on the bus, who was getting very upset with all these kids, you know, the kids that were making all the noise, said something to the father about, you know, would you just please, you know, get your kids to be quiet? And the father looked up at him and said, you know, I'm sorry. He said, we were just at the hospital visiting their mother, and they're trying to get rid of all the, you know, the worry and the anxiety in their body, and it's coming out through all of this noise. Well, that's a whole different perspective.
Oh, it's an entire paradigm shift.
Absolutely. And that's really the reality, even in work or in our lives, of asking whether it's our spouse or our business partner or our, you know, partner in relationship or friends or employees, our team, asking them the right questions, not to go, oh, I feel so sorry for you, because that does them absolutely no good whatsoever. It's saying, I understand, I can see that this is really upsetting to you, and that the kids, I understand that they're trying to deal with the emotions of their mom, seeing their mom in a hospital. That's empathy. It's just saying, I understand where you are. We don't have to fix them.
Yeah, no, this is beyond an intellectual tool. It's a way of living.
Absolutely, it is. And again, it's learning how to ask questions, and then it's also learning the questions. So, I mean, that's a whole teaching in itself. That could be even a couple day teaching with practice and all sorts of things, and using even some of the tools from improv. And I taught this recently in a group of corporate people. It's a yes and, you know, type of technique, you know, the yes, I hear you, and, you know, so that the person feels heard, and you can still have your own opinion without even agreeing with what they're saying, but you're acknowledging that you heard what they said. And that in itself can shift an entire relationship, that at least I know if I come to you, I will be heard, whether you agree with me or not. And then we can have a discussion.
And in a corporate culture, that is something that can change the culture.
It can change the culture internally as to how people relate to each other. It also changes the relationship with the outside world, with customers and resources. It can make a company the go-to company, because whether the outside world realizes it or not, they just feel good working with that company. So they'd even pay a higher price, just, you know, just like going to a certain restaurant or that. I'd rather pay more to go to a restaurant and feel good while I'm there than go to a restaurant that maybe, you know, has a little bit better food or the food I might prefer, and feel like crap when I leave, or know that I'm going to be dealing with people that could care less as they're coming to the table or greeting me at the door.
I think that experience of being wanted and cared for as a customer is so important. And I have to wonder if our quick, instant gratification culture and social media hasn't set that aside.
They've set it aside. They've stomped on it. They've, you know, thrown dirt on it, and they've done all sorts of stuff. Social media is a whole animal in itself that I tend not to deal with hardly at all, simply because it is so negative, and I choose not to fill any more space with negativity, even responding to negativity, because the people who are engaging in that type, and again, not everybody is, but those who are engaging in that type of communication, I'm not here to heal them. I'm not here to fix them. I've got enough people in the world that are saying, hey, you know, I'm a high achiever, and I know that I can't get to that next level on my own, that I need to make a contextual change in how I think about myself, the people around me. And I would love to have that education, the insight, and the wisdom from an outside source to do that. So, yeah, social media is something that just try not to even think about it.
You have an acronym in your book, The Beast.
Oh, Tame and Train Your Beast. Yes.
Tame and Train Your Beast.
Yes. And again, if you think about, you know, the beast could be anything. My beast is a wolf. In fact, my first book is called Howl, H-O-W-L, How to Lead, Level, Leverage Any Pack, which was based on a wolf, because wolves are amazingly smart animals who are actually good leaders as well. So the Tame and Train Your Beast comes from the B is belief, the E is your emotions, A is acute awareness, S is your self-identity, how you think about yourself when you're alone with your thoughts. And the T is your talk and walk. It's your verbal and nonverbal language. And the beast can, when you are in a state where you're, I call it going down the rabbit hole, where you're in your negative thoughts with your negative emotions and the negative feelings, and then they start to repeat themselves and get deeper and deeper. That's when the beast is coming out of if you think of it, coming out of the woods and attacking, and it's nipping at your heels, and it's about to take you down, which is your beliefs, your emotions, your self-identity. Because at that point, your self-identity is not very good. You're not thinking very highly of yourself, and you're talk and walk. But now the beast can also be that rearing up with the shoulders back and the power that comes from inside of us of knowing exactly who we are and how we operate in the world. And that beast is so magnificent inside of us with the eyes that are glowing as it's awakened within us, because our thought, our beliefs and our emotions and the acute awareness that we have of the world around us and our self-identity, how we think about ourselves, is so powerful that our talk, our verbal and nonverbal behaviors and communication all blend together, that it's like, whew, I know who I am. Not in a I'm better than you, but in a way that's saying, I know who I am, and I'm here in hopes that you do too, knowing who you are. Because then the conversation or the work that we can do in a company as a partnership, or two companies coming together, two people coming together in a relationship, whatever it is, now we're coming together as our best self, which means together we're even stronger. It's not you and I blend together and become one. It's you and I standing side by side, which is an even stronger foundation to build on.
What is your next great adventure, both personally and professionally?
I think they're in, right now they are the same, personal and professionally. I am about to, I don't have a date yet, but sometime in September, I'm launching my own podcast. It's called Leaders on the Edge. I will be interviewing people. Some of them are clients or past clients, sports, entertainment, business, any industry, but people around the world who have that that personality. They have my personality, basically, of nothing is ever quite enough. Grateful for where we are, extremely grateful for where we are and what's next. And it's a internal driving force that we have. Anybody who's a high performer, when I was a receptionist, I was a high performer or high achiever. It's like, again, like I said earlier, it's like, this is not enough. I need the challenge. I need to conquer a challenge, whatever that challenge might be. Same reason I went on a great white shark dive. Same reason that I went and drove 600 horsepower race cars or, ballooned over the migration in Africa or whatever. Anytime I can get that thrill, is important to me. Then doing this podcast and speaking with others who have similar personality so that others who are listening can begin to understand themselves better and realize that these people who oftentimes get praised from others are human. They are perfectly imperfect and go through a lot of the trials and tribulations. They have learned ways to get through it. So that's what I'm working on right now, along with working with my clients, is to get that broadcast, that podcast out there, and to get the right guests on it who can open up and with no BS, no screen, no smoke and mirrors, that can get vulnerable and talk about what they've been through. And then how they got through it.
That will be a fascinating podcast. I look forward to it.
Thank you. Thank you. I do too. I'm trying to, because I'll never know from one interview to the next how it's going to turn out. And I'm very excited because that, again, it's something that I don't have complete control over, which I like.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.